Welcome to Own It, Babe. I am so thrilled that you're here. My name is Srini Fry, and I am helping you make peace with food, heal your body image, find more purpose and meaning in your life, and liberate yourself from our weight-obsessed society. Each week, I will introduce you to an inspiring guest or experiences of my own on intuitive eating, positive body image, self-love, personal growth, and everything else you need to live your best life and throw your scale in the trash. Are you ready for this? Let's dive in. Hey, you, and thank you so much for tuning into the podcast and into this Q&A episode. It means so much to me that you choose to spend your precious time with me because I know how many other podcasts are out there. And I'm honestly having so much fun recording these podcast episodes and sharing with you my own experiences from, you know, my recovery and my food freedom journey, intuitive eating, mental health, body image, all the things, as well as the stories of other people that I find inspiring in hopes that it will inspire you to take action. This is my intention with this podcast. So for now, I have decided to not bring on any sponsors to the show, but I do work my butt off to create this content for you for free. So I would so appreciate you leaving a quick rating and review over on iTunes and helping me get the word out about this show. And also, I wanted to quickly tell you about my freebie, because I do want you to get your hands on it. So my freebie that I have currently on my website is a 5-day video series on healing your body image. So I'm sharing with you the 5 most important pieces of my journey in terms of healing my negative body image and loving and accepting my body. So there's videos about setting boundaries with body shamers, dealing with our inner critic, dealing with triggers around us, and really just building a positive body image foundation and how exactly to go about this while also taking care of our mental health. So that is a huge piece of this series as well. So if you're currently struggling with negative body image thoughts, go and pause this episode and go over to www.ownitbabe.ca/freebies to download your free body image pep talks. And they also come with a free workbook because every single video has some powerful homework exercises to put what I teach you into practice right there and then. So again, the link is ownitbabe.ca/freebies. So I'm super excited for you to get your hands on this video series because I know it will help you out so, so much. And it's kind of a complimentary thing to this podcast as well because I love talking about body image. Now, before I dive into the 3 questions I'm answering in today's episode, I want to give a shout out to one of you who left a super sweet review for the show. And I'm going to be giving these shout outs every single week for now. The reviews are getting more and more and I love it. So if you want me to give you a shout out, you can leave a review over on iTunes for me to see and I will make sure to share it with all of you who are tuning in. So this week's review is from Nulu Mob. I hope I'm saying it right. Right. And she says, "My goodness, this woman is changing the world for so many people, and she's doing it all for free. I truly hope she gets all the support she needs and more for what she's doing and the way she's opening up her entire life to make other people feel heard and understood. It must take a huge toll on a soul. She has been so helpful for me in my journey of healing my relationship with food. She's the breath of fresh air and realness we need in this mad, perfectly curated and fake world. Thank you, Rini. I honestly think you are saving lives here. Thank you, thank you, thank you." Well, oh my goodness is right. This review definitely made me shed a tear or two because I read it when I was having a not so great day. I'm currently planning my new course launch. So a brand new course that I'm putting out there and that I have worked on for the past year. And it's going to be launching in just a few weeks. So I feel so overwhelmed currently and, you know, just wondering if it's all worth it and if I should just throw in the towel, you know, just the usual thoughts of a recovering perfectionist that is way too hard on herself. But anyways, this review just truly made my entire day, if not my entire week. And as you know, I put out so much content for free, and my desire is to truly help and inspire others to take action. And some days are hard because I feel like I'm giving a lot, and sometimes that leaves little time to give back to myself. So I'm working on changing that, working really hard on changing that actually, and carving out time for myself and my self-care. So those little reminders that, you know, you're enjoying my content and it's actually helping you really puts things in perspective for me and encourages me to keep going. So I love you all so much, and thank you for your continuous support. It really, really means the world to me. Okay. Enough chit-chat. Now, I chose to answer three questions in this week's episode, and I'll also be opening up another Q&A soon over on Instagram, which, by the way, I am at ownitbabe. You should totally go follow me on there. We're a big family, and I love answering your questions during the podcast because it just gives me more time to actually dive deeper than, say, during an Instagram story. So I really want to share my experiences with you and hopefully help you out on your own journey to food freedom and body acceptance. So the questions I will answer in this week's episode are the following. Number one, what were the physical changes you went through in recovery and how did you navigate them? Number two, how do I know if I actually have disordered eating or if I just prefer to eat a certain way? And number three, did you deal with binge eating in your recovery? If so, how did you go about it and when did it stop? So those are some amazing questions, and I am so excited to answer them. So without any further ado, let's get started with question number one. So what were the physical changes you went through in recovery and how did you navigate them? So I think I need to preface this question and say that I had a few attempts at recovery before my final attempt that worked, so to speak. And one of the main reasons I relapsed or went back to old behaviors was all of the physical changes that I feared, which I wasn't really sure what to expect, first of all. And nobody ever talked about, you know, navigating these changes. It, you know, all of the experiences that I heard about were just that it was so hard and it was just devastating. And, you know, nobody ever told me like, okay, yes, all of these changes are really freaking hard to deal with, but here's why it's worth it and here's how to go about it. So I'm really hoping that by sharing all of the changes that I went through and how I navigated them, it's going to be, you know, that spark of hope for you, not cause more fear or more pain. Because I want to preface all of this by saying that, yes, I went through a lot of changes, but it was so worth it because freedom was waiting on the other side. So even though I did go through, you know, a few months of a lot of struggles physically, it was so worth it for what was waiting for me on the other side, which is the rest of my life living in freedom and living free of all of these symptoms and living free of my food obsession. So it's really, really important to keep that in mind, right? Okay, so the first physical change that comes to mind, of course, is the weight gain, right? But I have an entire episode on dealing with weight gain and recovery. So it's just a few episodes back and it's called Why My Weight Gain Gave Me My Life Back. So I'm not going to go too deep into the weight gain per se when it comes to how to deal with that mentally, because I have a whole episode on that. So definitely go back and listen to this one. This will be about all of the physical changes and how I physically dealt with them, if that makes sense. Okay. So with the weight gain came, you know, my fear of, okay, what am I going to do if I gain weight, if I get bloated, if my face changes, if my body is changing, if I get boobs again, if I get cellulite, what's going to happen to my digestion? And of course, everything that comes with all of this, like letting go of my rigid food rules, eating foods I wasn't used to eating, stopping exercise. Like I had all of these fears in my head that just, you know, helped me back from truly recovering. So I would make an attempt at recovery and then I would get too uncomfortable and then I would just go back to my old painful comfort zone of restriction and binge eating in secret and dieting again and then rebounding and then exercising for hours and hours just to maintain my body weight. it was really, really tough to not relapse, right? So there was so much that I knew would happen that would challenge the crap out of me that I kept choosing to go back to this old comfort zone, even though it was so painful, right? Like the restriction was painful, the binge eating was painful, or just, you know, eating past fullness in general and then feeling guilty and then trying to compensate again. Like it's mind-boggling looking back that I put myself through so much just to look a certain way. And, you know, the irony is that I wasn't even ever happy in my body. So it wasn't even like, yeah, I did it for a reason because if I did all of this, I was actually happy. Like I was miserable, right? But back then it was all I had, or so I thought. I thought that I wasn't worthy if I gained weight. I thought that people wouldn't love me or respect me as much if I stopped putting up this facade of being the healthy one, quote unquote. And you know what? Yes, people did comment on my weight gain and they did question me and made weird comments when I wanted to order a burger with a side of fries at the restaurant because they weren't used to that. They were used to me ordering the salad or not going out to eat at all. But I moved past it. I moved past all of this. Now, I want to go deep into the physical changes. So let's talk about those. So the physical changes I went through on my final attempt at recovery that finally worked were the following. And I will also explain how I navigated them in a second. So the first thing that comes to mind is, aside from the weight gain, severe bloating and constipation and water retention. And I mean, I can be super honest here, right? I mean, we all poop, so I can talk about this stuff. So the bloating and the digestive part, like my digestion was a war zone. That's the first thing that comes to mind. The second thing is that I went through a long period of extreme hunger, which is sort of comparable to this mental hunger. You eat all of this food, but you're actually never, ever satisfied. So your body just keeps asking for more food. So that's another physical change that happened. And the third one, which is kind of an umbrella of all kinds of things, is that my hormones were completely out of balance. They were out of balance before, but during recovery, it was like my body threw them out of balance even more in order to bring them back into balance, if that makes sense. So that caused a lot of pain in my body. So it caused a lot of pain and inflammation in my boobs. It caused a lot of pain in my legs from holding on to that water weight and from putting on weight very quickly in general and eating all of these foods that my body wasn't used to. Another thing that happened due to this hormone imbalance were that once my period came back, I had lost it for a few years. So once it came back, my periods were just insane. So the week leading up to my period and the week of my period, I was a complete mess. Like my boobs would swell up to 3 times their size and they were just so inflamed. They would hurt. My cramps were out of control to a point where I remember actually passing out in the bathroom and waking up laying on the bathroom floor naked and in pain. It was brutal, but hey, looking back, it was all worth it. It needed to happen in order for my body to bring everything back into balance, including my health. So I'll go deeper into all of that right away here. But another thing that was caused by the hormone imbalance was that my skin broke out even more than ever before. So I was starting to get acne along my neckline and on my back, which was all just due to the hormones slowly balancing out. So those are the physical symptoms that come to mind when I think back. I'm sure that wasn't all of them, but basically the bottom line is that I felt uncomfortable 24/7. Now, let me go through and explain why these physical symptoms happened in the first place and what I did to navigate them. I just want to make sure you know that it's always best to work through these things with a doctor you trust and preferably even a dietitian who has experience in the eating disorder field. So what I'm going to tell you here are my own personal experiences. So I wanted to put that disclaimer out here. The bloating and digestive issues was really hard to navigate because I wasn't used used to feeling full, first of all, and I also wasn't used to all of the foods I started eating again, meaning that my body wasn't used to digesting all of these foods. So that caused all of this bloating and the constipation. And to be quite honest, there wasn't much I could do other than embrace the bloat and make sure that I kept feeding myself regardless. The truth is that when we restrict food or cut out certain foods for a long period of time, due to not genuine food allergies, but due to diet culture, wanting to lose weight or thinking it's better for us, quote unquote, our body will stop being used to digesting these foods. So it'll take some time, right? It'll panic at first. It'll not be used to digesting and breaking down all these foods. So it'll cause some digestive distress for a while. But I think the most important thing I did was not let this issue hold me back and not let it stop me and continuously feeding myself and helping my body get used to all of these foods again. So I didn't take these digestive issues as a reason to listen to my eating disorder voice that was like, see, I told you, you shouldn't eat gluten. It's not good for you. Because that was what my eating disorder voice was telling me to do. But I didn't listen to that. I instead just kept reassuring myself that, hey, this is temporary. My body is able to digest all these foods. It was always able to do so before my eating disorder. So it may just take some time to heal its digestive tract and to get used to eating them, digesting them again. And this is all happening for my own good. So I kept reminding myself that I want a life where all foods are allowed and where I don't obsess anymore. And if I do choose to not eat a certain food, it's because I genuinely don't feel very good eating it. It's not that I restrict it to look a certain way or I restrict it in the name of, you know, this is what's healthy and this is what's not healthy. I wasn't putting any labels on food anymore and I still don't. And I genuinely am able to now digest all of the foods, all of it. So my body doesn't have any issues digesting certain foods anymore whatsoever, but this took time. So during this period, I spent some time each day breathing really deeply and really just trying to be present in my body and doing my best to eliminate stress, especially around mealtimes. Because our digestive tract, when we are in a stressful state, it's going to be even harder for it to heal. So I found that eliminating stress helped a ton to calm my body down and to make the digestive process easier to navigate. The more I stressed about possibly reacting to a certain food and thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen now? I just ate this food. I just ate, you know, dairy or sugar. What's going to happen? Oh my God. The more severe the reaction was. So we can literally make ourselves sick with our thoughts. So when we are stressed, when we're in fight or flight mode, your body isn't going to accept the foods that we eat very well, right? So the more I instead focused on taking any digestive distress as just information that my body is sending to me, like, hey girl, we're having a little technical difficulty down here. You know, we're trying really hard to digest this bread. We're doing our best. Hang in there, right? That is when things truly started to shift for me. So what I want you to understand is that stress is a huge reason our digestive system reacts. So the more you can find ways to calm yourself down with some deep breathing and some positive reassurance and tell yourself, yes, you're on the right track, this is going to all be okay, the easier this process is in terms of moving through it and not letting it hold you back because it is temporary. And when it comes to the water retention, So all this water weight that I was holding in my body that caused swelling and puffiness and all the things, that went away on its own within a few weeks. But I do want to say that if you work with a doctor or a dietitian that has experience in the recovery field, and this is very important, is not judgmental of your weight, the more you can work together and prevent the water retention. And the reason I mentioned the weight stigma, like doctors being judgmental of our weight, that is a huge issue in the recovery community. Eating disorders come in all shapes and sizes, but we're taught that we need to look emaciated or look underfed or be extremely thin in order to get help. So this is a whole other rabbit hole I'm not going to go down in this episode, but what I'm saying is it's really important to work with a doctor and dietitian that has experience in the eating disorder field and in the health at every size movement and the science behind that. So they're not judging you on your weight at all. This needs to be not in the picture whatsoever in order for you to heal and work through this stuff. So bottom line here is that I navigated this part, the digestion and the water retention and the inflammation, by continuously introducing new fear foods of mine, but trying to eliminate stress around these foods, always reassuring myself that I have full permission to eat these foods, that I can calm my body down and support my body in learning to digest all of these foods again, and eliminating guilt and shame, right? So saying kind things to myself and reminding myself that I want this kind of freedom, I'm working towards it, it's going to get harder before it gets easier, and that's okay, right? So the more I reminded myself of all of this, the easier it became to move through it. And I would say, in terms of timeline, that the bloating lasted a couple months for sure, probably longer than that. But again, it got less and less severe every single day, every single week, right? So I wasn't beating myself up over having this digestive issue as part of my recovery. So this is really, really important to understand. It's all temporary. You will get through it. And you just need to help your body along the way. And you know, your body is creating new digestive enzymes to learn and break down all these foods again. So it just takes some adjustment and some time. Okay. Now, let's talk about all of the hormone stuff, shall we? As I said earlier, my periods were insane and they're sometimes still quite painful, not nearly as painful as they used to be, but sometimes I still experience pretty painful cramps, and I'm sure it will take some more time for my body to balance out, and that's totally okay. But the good thing is that my periods are super regular now. And sometimes not severe at all, which tells me that my body is well on its way to balancing out completely. Now, all of these changes in hormones that caused my boobs to swell up and get inflamed, and that just caused a lot of inflammation in my body, which also caused the period pain and the digestive issues and the acne and all of these things, those were just part and temporary of this recovery journey because, you know, for so many years, my body was just in survival mode and just thinking, okay, when's the next famine gonna come around, right? Because I kept trying to go back to dieting and restriction. My body was just constantly in this stressful zone. So there was no time to actually balance out my hormones or to, you know, bring my period back or, you know, to clear out my skin or to balance out my mood. Like, my body was just in this survival state. So of course, it will take time and it will take some readjustment in order to bring everything back into balance. So when it came to those hormone imbalances, there wasn't much I could do because honestly, I tried it all and I came to a point where I was so tired of hearing those well-meaning opinions of people like, maybe you should try cutting out dairy, you know, that will make it better. Or maybe you should try this lavender oil, or maybe you should try this supplement. It really, really healed me. It will do the same for you. So I literally had tried it all. And I know that these things work for some people, like I'm not judging here, but for me, nothing worked as well as me just continuously feeding my body, trying to manage stress, getting enough sleep, and focusing on self-care, whatever that meant. So just carving out some time for me time, whether it's watching something on Netflix, painting my nails, playing with my dog, just taking time throughout the day to be present, connect to my body, focus on me. Like, that was the best thing I could do to actually move through this period. No supplement made a huge difference for me. No essential oil did, and especially not cutting out foods, because cutting out foods got me into this mess in the first place, right? So before you think, well, maybe for some people it works to cut out gluten and sugar, and maybe this all wouldn't have happened if she would have cut these things out, please hear me out. those hormone imbalances had nothing to do with me eating sugar and gluten. Just like me cutting out sugar and gluten for so many years in the past never healed me, it literally made everything worse. It caused this severe obsession and preoccupation with food and my body, and it really just stole my life, right? And I'm not gluten intolerant. I should say that too. I don't have any autoimmune issues. I'm not celiac, nothing, right? So even though my eating disorder convinced me to think that sugar is the devil and gluten is bad and all of these things, I had to just stop listening to this voice. I had to continuously remind myself that this voice isn't actually me. I want to recover. I want food freedom. And I eat gluten and sugar every day now. And guess what? My acne is almost gone. My digestion has never been better. And my mood is balanced, right? Because I'm not cutting out these foods, because I'm not obsessing over food, because I have so much more mental clarity and space to actually focus on things that fulfill me and make food an enjoyable part of my life, but it's not the center of my life anymore. Does that make sense? So again, I think it comes down to that elimination of stress and just focusing on other more important things. And you know, struggling with my hormone imbalances in the beginning of my recovery, it was that transition period of my body trying to heal and trying to balance out that, you know, causing all of this was just part of this. It was part of getting back into balance. And I want to explain this. I want to bring up an example to maybe make this a bit more clear for you. So think of it this way. Say you broke your arm, right? And now your arm is in a cast for a while. Would you expect your arm to be perfectly healed in just a couple of weeks, right? No. So it will take some time. It will take some rehabilitation time and mobility exercises for your arm to actually completely heal. And it will hurt for a while. It will not get, you know, perfectly fine right away. It will just hurt along the way, but then slowly it will actually heal and be back to its pre-broken state, so to speak. And it's the exact same thing with our body coming out of a year-long process of restriction and self-hate and starvation and binge eating and chronic dieting and eating past fullness and beating yourself up and feeling awful, right? So we threw our hormones out of whack by doing all of these things. So it will take some time and it will take a lot of food and rest for our body to rehabilitate. So while I did try and supplement with probiotics and digestive enzymes and other things that people suggested, I found that nothing worked as well as managing stress, working on creating a positive body image, and eliminating guilt and shame around food. So I always just really focused on self-compassion, being an ally to my body, treating it with kindness, and allowing myself to just fucking rest. Like eat, rest, and relax. And again, this was my personal experience. Right? I recommend you work with a medical professional if you, you know, are struggling right now. Work with somebody that specializes in this field of eating disorders, health at every size, and intuitive eating. But I promise that your body will heal and balance out. You just really need to become your body's ally in this instead of continuously fighting it or going back to your old painful comfort zone, right? So this transition phase is really, really difficult. Seeing our body change can be hard. But once you truly allow for this process, like give yourself permission, give your body permission to go through this process, you will find that it takes a lot of stress and pressure off yourself. So you can be prepared for all of these things that I mentioned to maybe happen and reassure yourself that it's part of this journey. Your body is healing, right? It will take time. Your body is doing the best it can. And it might feel like it's getting worse before it actually gets better, but it will get better. And just one final tip when it comes to those physical changes, again, personal experience. During the first year or so of my recovery, I truly only wore stretchy pants and really comfortable clothes because my body was fluctuating in weight quite dramatically in the beginning. Not that this happens to everybody, but to many people it does, right? Our bodies will fluctuate up and down until they eventually settle at our ideal healthy weight. So I recommend wearing clothes that won't trigger you. So staying away from wearing clothes that are too small or jeans that are cutting into your waist or, you know, any clothes that just trigger you. And also try and avoid standing in front of the mirror for too long or weighing yourself. So any triggers you're aware of, I recommend doing your best to just avoid them for a while and really just focus on the big picture, on what you're trying to achieve here, on what your life will look like once you move through this process and really feel and taste that freedom, because it is wonderful and it is so, so worth it. So all of this is a few months or a year or so of being uncomfortable and working through some deeper issues, but there's a reward. There's a lifetime of freedom and liberation waiting for you. And it honestly is so worth it to go through this period and to keep focusing on the end result and what that will mean for you. So really just write that out. Like, what will that freedom actually mean for your life? So to me, for example, it means so many things, but the most important one is that I actually have my life back. I feel like I'm actually living and not just existing and surviving. I feel like I have ditched my eating disorder voice and I can be myself again. So no matter how hard this phase was for me mentally and physically, I wouldn't change it for the world. And I hope it's the same for you. Okay, so that was question number one. Now, let's get to question two. And question two and three, they won't be as lengthy of answers, but I really wanted to make sure to dive deep into question one here. So I made some more time for that. I hope it was helpful. So question two, how do I know if I actually have disordered eating or if I just prefer to eat a certain way? Okay, this question is something I used to always wonder myself. Do I actually have an eating disorder, or am I just trying to freaking stick to my diet, but I keep falling off the wagon? Or is this really an eating disorder, or is it me trying to quote unquote be healthy and my body just constantly gets in the way by creating urges to binge eat or failing to listen to what I tell it to do, right? Do you see what I mean? So I kept trying to explain away my behaviors and blaming it all on my body for quote unquote not listening to me, when in fact, my body was just trying to tell me that enough is enough, that it's starving and that it needs food and that it's going to slow down its metabolism and throw all its functions out of whack just to keep me alive. And that, you know, it's so hungry all the time because I'm not feeding it enough, or I'm mentally restricting and feeling guilty for eating, so my body doesn't feel safe enough. It doesn't know if there's going to be a next meal, right? And I think so many of us are under the impression that we're not sick enough, quote unquote. So all of these things that I told you about was basically me trying to explain away my disordered relationship to food, thinking that, well, I'm not sick enough to deserve help. So maybe this is based on our weight that we feel this. Maybe this is based on our distorted body image that we feel we're not sick enough, or that we're not sick in the first place. Maybe this is based on what we see on social media, thinking that, you know, all of these other people are able to live this lifestyle and be at this size, so why shouldn't I? By the way, there's a snowblower in the background right now. Somebody's blowing snow up their backyard, so I hope you can't hear this in this episode. But to answer this question in a nutshell, if you're pondering whether or not you have an eating disorder, something is definitely off and you deserve to get help and support with this. If the way you eat or exercise is taking over your life, you deserve to get help and support. If your lifestyle, quote unquote, is taking away from moments with your loved ones, fun date nights with your partner, being present during playtime with your kids, or going on girls' nights out with your favorite girls, or going on fun trips, exploring other countries or cities, if your lifestyle is taking away from enjoying any of these things or wanting to do them in the first place, you deserve to get help and support. If you get anxious around food or feel horrible in your body or feel like you don't deserve to eat or feel worthy in your body, you deserve to get help and support, and something is definitely off here. So it's not just about, you know, wanting to eat a certain way anymore here. So the lines are really blurred when it comes to eating disorders and disordered eating. And while I personally think that diagnosing an eating disorder might be helpful, it's also important to understand that there's no one-size-fits-all struggle with food. It's very nuanced and complicated, but when you feel like you have a problem, you absolutely deserve to insist on getting help, no matter what you look like, what you weigh, or what you actually struggle with when it comes to food and your body. And the problem with this whole topic and with this whole confusion, like, is this really disordered eating or not, is that we live in a society that is weight biased, meaning that people who don't look emaciated or extremely malnourished have difficulty getting help and support when they're trying to heal their relationship to food. Even for me, and I was in a very thin body at some point, I couldn't even get into eating disorder treatment. I had to get into therapy for my anxiety, and I was there able to work through my eating issues as part of this therapy with my therapist and then also with a dietitian. So I was super, super lucky, but I was denied treatment specifically for my eating disorder because of my body size. And this is really horrifying because for the folks that are in bigger bodies, it's merely impossible to get help because people have so many judgments around body size and eating behaviors. That is why I find it so important to raise awareness that eating disorders and disordered eating and food and body struggles come in all shapes and sizes, and we all deserve to get help. And luckily, we're not doomed. So there's a lot of professionals that specialize in weight inclusive treatment. It may not be in your area, but you are able to get help online. So I will include some of my favorite resources in the show notes for you of professionals that work in the health at every size field and that specialize in eating disorders and disordered eating. I absolutely recommend reaching out to them and also reading up on all the health at every size resources that I will link to in the show notes. Bottom line, you do not have to be a certain size to struggle with disordered eating. It truly comes in all shapes and sizes, and I'm hoping that we can band together and raise more awareness around this topic because we all truly do deserve to get help no matter which size our body's at. So that is my answer in a nutshell. How do you know if your lifestyle or eating choices take away from living your life and you're preoccupied with food 24/7 and you're picking your body apart 24/7, you deserve to get help and support. So that's question two. Let's get to question three. Did you deal with binge eating in recovery? If so, how did you go about it and when did it stop? I dealt with binge eating even before recovery for over a decade, actually. And if you want to know all about my story on how my eating disorder started, how it developed, and everything else that happened, including my recovery journey, definitely go and check out episode one, where I literally share everything. But the binge eating started about 2 years into my eating disorder, and it progressed from there. I also dealt with it in recovery, but the main difference between my binge eating during my eating disorder and my binge eating during recovery was that during my eating disorder, I always compensated for my binges. Trigger warning here. I either abused laxatives, I exercised for hours the next day, I would sometimes purge, I would fast the following days or do a juice fast. Like, it was awful because I would constantly put my body through periods of starvation, which would then lead to the next binge. So it was an endless, just brutal cycle that felt impossible to break. And in the end, it wasn't even that I would physically compensate for my binges anymore. So I would attempt to compensate for them, but then, you know, by mid-morning, I was so hungry and the urge to binge was so strong that I always gave in. So towards the end, right before I started my recovery, I pretty much only binge ate, but I always in my mind tried to compensate for it and felt extremely guilty. So that is the main difference, right? So it was a difference in mindset and also the compensation for the binge. So I did all of this and it was awful, but the binge eating that happens for many of us in recovery is also referred to as extreme hunger. I touched on it a little bit earlier, but I didn't really go into it. So I want to do that here real quick. So this binge eating or extreme hunger and recovery, no matter what disordered eating you struggled with, even binge eating in and of itself, right? It's our body's way of trying to heal and asking for a lot of food. Our body doesn't know yet that it's safe, that there will always be more food available. So even just the thought of wanting to compensate for a binge has the same effect on our body as actually physically restricting and compensating for the food. Because to your body, this is a signal that, okay, she's going to take the food away from us. We better ask for all of the food right now. We better amp up our hunger all of the time so we actually get the food. We're actually safe enough to eat. There's going to be more food around, right? So it's our body's way of trying to heal and asking for a lot of food. And this is a good thing because what your body is trying to understand is, will there be more food around later, or is she going to take the food away from us again? So you want to constantly reassure your body that there is plenty of food around and you won't take it away anymore. You won't even think about taking it away anymore. So that is the one way to navigate this process. So yes, I dealt with a lot of binges or extreme hunger for about a year of my recovery, which is pretty long. So it lasted that long because I didn't have my mindset figured out quite yet. I felt extremely guilty for all the food I was eating and I planned on restricting again the next day to feel better about myself. But what I didn't understand was that as soon as I thought about restriction again, my body would think, oh crap, we'll be in a famine again soon. We better do everything we can to keep eating and store up, right? So our bodies don't understand diets. They don't understand the diet mentality. All they understand is that we're in a situation of famine when we diet, right? There's not enough food to sustain themselves, so they have to do everything they can to get us to eat more to prepare for the next famine. So if you've ever gone on a diet before in your life, on a restrictive diet, your body will always feel like there might be a next famine unless you actually take action and continuously prove to your body that there will be no more famine, either in your mind or in actuality. So the period of the binge eating or extreme hunger is also medically referred to as nutritional rehabilitation, which I find is such an accurate term to describe this phase. And also, if you remember my example with the broken arm, it's like a rehabilitation phase with nutrition this time when it comes to your body healing and balancing out. So this phase is your body trying to heal and use all of this fuel, all of this food to actually balance out and heal all its functions and organs and feed its hungry cells and get your body healthy and happy again, knowing that it is safe. It can finally calm down and get over that famine state, that fight or flight mode, that stressful state that it's been in for so many years, right? So the way I went about those binges is that I truly gave myself full permission to eat. I would put all the foods on a plate. I would sit down. I would get excited about it. And I would allow myself to taste it and savor it while telling myself that I can always have more, that I'm not a bad person for eating this, that my body will eventually balance everything out over time. That I will be okay, that my body needs this food and that I will not restrict or make up for it, whether I actually follow through with the restriction or not. It's the same thing, right? So really just genuinely allow yourself to eat it without feeling that guilt and shame and knowing that you will not restrict or feel bad about eating your next meal either. And guess what? Once I started consistently doing this and truly practicing giving myself full permission to eat what I wanted, my body started to slowly ask for less food at a time. So my meals naturally became the portion sizes that were right for me, and I stopped wanting to eat past fullness every single meal. Not because I was on a weight loss quest or because I felt better about myself for eating less, but simply because my body actually felt better when I didn't eat past fullness all the time. So it was just this natural sensation that my body started sending out, telling me that it had gotten enough food at this meal, I am satisfied, I can now move on with my day. And, you know, when I get hungry again, I'm just going to eat something. So my body just, after a while, trusted me again and knew that more food will be around later, so we don't have to binge right now. I hope this makes sense. This is a topic I'm diving deep into in my new course that I talked about in the intro of this episode a little bit. So my new course is called Fearless Food Freedom Blueprint. It will be coming out in the next few weeks. So definitely keep your ears and eyes open for when it launches, because we will dive into all of the different nuances when it comes to binge eating, overeating, emotional eating, how to navigate all of this, right? But I hope that by answering this little question, this little sliver of this bigger problem, so to speak, or a bigger issue that you're trying to work through, I gave you something, some action step to really put into practice today. Whether you're full on binge eating or you just always eat past fullness and feel guilty for eating, this really, really, really works. So either go back and re-listen to me answering this question, or just keep in mind to give yourself full permission to eat without the thought of compensating for the food. Either way, whether it's by restriction or exercise or, you know, eating healthy, quote unquote, during your next meal, whatever these thoughts are, really try and eliminate them as much as possible. So that is the questions for this week's episode, and I am so thankful you listened. I really hope that I gave you something helpful to work with from listening to this episode. And I just want to give you a little pep talk and say, please keep going on your journey no matter where you're currently at. Keep feeding yourself, keep resting up, keep moving your body for joy, not punishment, and keep being kind to yourself, because your body wants to be your friend. So let it be its friend as well, be its ally. You deserve all the freedom, liberation, and happiness in the world, my friend. And again, if you want access to my body image video series that I talked about in the beginning of this episode, head over to ownitbabe.ca/freebies, and also check out the show notes for all the resources I mentioned in this episode. And of course, leave me a quick rating and review for the show and share it with someone you love, or share it to your Insta stories and tag me. I am at ownitbabe, all one word. And I'd love to come say hi and thank you for tuning in. And I will catch you in next week's episode, which will be all about your mindset. I have a super exciting guest interview for you that will help you live your life more mindfully. And it's not necessarily about the food, but rather about creating more joy in your life and living your life more intentionally. So I cannot wait for you to tune in again next week. And until then, don't forget to own it, babe.